Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are with a brand new, hopefully non-disastrous month ahead of us. It is the first day of June, 2017. Informal summer is upon us. I know because the warm red sensation I have around about my neck and the fact that I'm covered in grass clippings at the moment. I'm weed-eating Bob Kincaid, and it is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. I'm happy to announce that, yes, indeed, hallelujah, glory, we did make it to the end of the month. We nudged the North Sea, we licked the Lithuanian, and thank you to everybody all month all long who made it happen in a particularly nasty month. Granted, we didn't have our noses pressed up against the window pane, staving off imminent disaster like the folks over at Daily Coast trying to raise $70,000 or $80,000, but we did. We kept up with fundraising, and that keeps this program on the air, and that means we go for hopefully, you know, another month. That's the way it's been since October 2005, month by month by month, and you know that's really a pretty impressive accomplishment for a media endeavor with absolutely no capitalist corporate ties or connections whatsoever. So, thanks to our monthly subscribers, we even get to start the month of June with not $200 to raise. Thank you very much to our subscribers. We can say very happily that we have only $160 to raise this evening, and we'll be good for the first day of the month of June. And I'm not kidding. I have been a weed-eating son of a gun, and I'm having a blast with it. Quite honestly, I've got me a nice pair of, you know, they used to be made in the United States, but got me a nice pair of Liberty overalls over to the Tractor Supply. And they're taking a whipping, but a good white T-shirt, red bandana on the head, Ray-Ban sunglasses for eye protection, and just marching through the weeds. And it really does, it provides a sense of accomplishment, and I love the exercise. And, you know, between us, I mean, you just cannot beat a proper two-stroke exhaust buzz. Phew. Whew! Yeah, I mean, if I start slurring or anything, you'll know. I mean, it's some good shit. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to help us knock down the $160 that begins the month of June, well, that's 16 at 10, 10 at 16, 1 at 160, 2 at 80, 4 at 40, 8 at 20. 16 at 10, 32 at 5, 64 at 250, 128 at $1.25. Yeah. 256 at 63 cents. We'll round up that half cent and put it on the yacht fund, shall we? just go on over to headonradionetwork.com and click on the contribute tab. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, we still are toying with the idea that someday, we'll have 400 $10 a month subscribers, and the yammering about fundraising that eats up the early part of the program and little parts of it along the way will be hopefully no more. So all you got to do is check that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. And that's all. But if you don't want to do that, don't check the box. Mr. Soros, check the box. No, really. George, if I can call you that, George, check the box. Bill Maher, check the box. Please. Leonardo DiCaprio, please. Robert Redford, please. Rob Reiner, please. You know how that goes. That guy from Progressive Insurance, please. But $160 to go. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, again, with the understanding that Boss Man Wayne probably won't get to the mailbox for a while, I'll probably have to go over there at some point. The mailing address for Postal Service purposes is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. Okay? And it's the first month in years that we have not had Shirley's Challenge on the table. And Bruce's funeral was yesterday. And I send my condolences and those of the Horn Family Community Congregation out to all who knew and loved him. So it is, in fact, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I don't remember a thornier Thorn in the Side Thursday in quite some time because of what happened this afternoon. And you know what happened this afternoon. This afternoon, Comrade Kumquat took the respectability of the United States and flushed it down the toilet. By that I mean, as expected, it's not like this was a big shock. It's still disgusting. As expected, he pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accords and put us in the company of Nicaragua and Syria. That's it. I thought Uzbekistan was out of it, but apparently Uzbekistan is still in it. Uzbekistan has more sense than Donald Trump. I don't know why Nicaragua isn't in it. Syria, well, probably not the one high on their priority list. By the way, we have some new names for Comrade Kumquat, courtesy of Scuba Divas. We had a note: love your show and what you're doing. How about ogre for a Trump synonym? Or saffron moron? See, I've been going for the alliterative thing, but there we are working the rhyme. Saffron moron. Or, and this is really nice and creative, the Siena Senile Citizen. Woo. Yeah, that's the Ochre Ogre, the Saffron Moron, the Siena Senile Citizen. Yeah, that's cowbell worthy in a big way. So, thank you. Thank you, Scuba Diva. Much obliged. Saffron Moron. Anyway, the Saffron Moron embarrassed the United States, but gave great joy to the Trumpanzees by pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords. I had a note from Eric earlier in Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Subject line, Paris. Bob, I might not be able to listen to tonight's program, but I hope you'll be talking about that son of a bitch pulling out of the Paris Agreement. I know it's a constant shitstorm coming from this bastard, but this has me absolutely furious for its stupidity, short-sightedness, and I don't know how to say it. The desiccation of the soul of America. Maybe I'm an environmental extremist, Eric says. I don't think you are. But I recycle everything. I have a small chemical-free farm and do all I can to reduce my footprint on this earth. This fucking troglodyte is the antithesis of everything I hold to be good. I hope we survive him. Jesus fucking Christ. Signed, Eric. Don't hold back, Eric. Hide not thy light under a bushel. Tell us how you really feel. And I think Eric probably captures the essence of how a lot of us feel. Oh, there's another one. Oh. Early cowbell for Sister Carol Baker. The Peach Pole Pot. The opportunities and the possibilities are something approaching endless. I'm embarrassed. I'm angry. I don't know if I'm sad. I think I'm too busy being embarrassed and angry to get to sad. The degree of willful ignorance that had to be displayed, the amount of fawning obsequiousness to the fossil fuel industries that was required to reach this decision really is quite monumental. Shocking. No, not shocking. See, there's a word problem. It's not shocking because you accept, you don't accept, but you do expect this kind of stupidity from the man that the people with all the economic anxiety. Otherwise known as Klansmen, neo-Nazis, troglodytes, skinheads, Christian Dominionists, Christian Reconstructionists, evangelicals, put into office. Yeah, smartass early day, I can't even remember his name. Saying that America will now have lower taxes, a better economy, and perfectly good environmental laws. And I don't know how you can say something like that with a straight face. Yeah, would you buy a car from somebody who said, would you buy insurance from somebody who said that? Note coming from Laurel. You know who's saying by any means necessary right now, Laurel asks? Gaia. It's a tough one to swallow. Now, I don't know. I might try to get him back on the program, Mike Bruin from the Sierra Club. Because I remember interviewing him after the election and him saying, well, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to get out of the Paris Climate Accords than Trump and his followers think. And this is not me I'm not going after Mike Bruin, but it doesn't look like it was a whole lot of a problem. Then again, maybe there's more to getting out of it than saying we're getting out of it. I'm looking for you know, a fraying thread of a dry-rotted shoestring to hang on here. I mean, hang on to just work with me. Maybe it'll be a little bit like Obamacare. Yeah, you can spend 7 years talking about repealing and replacing, but when it gets down to the nuts and bolts of doing it, not quite as easy as it looked. What did the ogre say?
Who knew healthcare could be so hard?
Right. So, not to piss people off, but I do this program every night, and I don't tap dance and or juggle or sing. You really don't want me to sing. All I've got is my ability to observe facts, and here's that fact again. That fact that will not go away. Thanks, everybody who failed the national one-question IQ test. Thanks. And maybe some people have a sense of a privileged sense of well-being out of this. I mean, the part of the reason that it's so hard to deal with climate change is that nobody can point to it. Well, I mean, you can, but it's not like Ebola, where you can point to a sweaty Liberian and say, well, that man's going to kill the whole country if we don't. Right? And as long as it's not happening to them, it isn't happening at all. Fuck the Maldives Islands. Who wants to, who'd live there in the first place and it being so close to sea level, right? Never mind that there's a great big humongous freaking chunk of ice about to come loose from the Larsen ice shelf in Antarctica. That particular chunk is roughly the size of the state of Delaware. Interestingly, roughly the same square unit of measurementage as the amount of mountains that have been flattened in mountaintop removal. That's just a coincidence. when that big hunk of that Delaware-sized hunk of the Larsen ice shelf comes loose, it's not gonna have any particular impact on some godforsaken hedge fund manager in a corner office in New York City, way up above where the floodwaters would be. Mm-mm. It won't affect melanoma up there in her tacky-ass penthouse or a little boron. It won't affect the Tangerine Tiberius, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. It won't affect Chuck and Dave Koch. It won't affect Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, or what's his name? The asshole Senator Inhofe. Is that who I'm thinking about? In Oklahoma, Stan? Won't affect Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. And so screw anybody that it does affect. But the problem is that the effects that it will have, and it will have effects, will not be labeled due to climate change or due to U.S. backing out of Paris climate accords. They don't label asthma inhalers that way. Is there an upside to this? I'm guessing probably power companies are not going to retrofit for coal when coal is much more expensive than wind and solar and, yes, frack gas, which, of course, is a climate change problem, too. But a little kid who can't breathe in summer because she lives downwind from a coal-fired power plant that's still belching particulates into the air, and it may be belching more because we bailed out of this accord, it's going to be real to her. But if anybody bothers to try to point that out, well, there's a right-wing filth machine that's ready to pump out a steady stream of butthurt indignation. You're just trying to politicize people being sick. Shame on you. If, in fact, they do ramp up mountaintop removal back to levels from a few years ago because we bailed on this accord, well, then, kiddo, that'll have an impact on people who live around it. If they start gouging more coal out of the earth out in the Powder River Basin in Wyoming and putting it on toxic trains headed to Washington State, well, the people who breathe that shit along that 1,000-mile route, it'll have an impact on them. And, of course, denial industry will simply say, "Oh, that's just alarmism. We got to make America great again, and the only way to do that is with coal, beautiful coal, incredible coal." Laurel says, "We experience weather, we eat climate. I'm a 350-pound man with a better than 50-50 chance of starving to death in the next 10 years. Let that sink in." Well, we'll be going with you, Laurel. Yeah, I'm extremely frustrated. Randy in PA says, "The Constitution gives only Congress the right to make or break treaties, so what's going on?" It's not a treaty. It is an accord the president used his executive power. As the branch of government that is in charge of foreign policy and diplomacy, to enter into that accord, to negotiate the accord. But it was not treated as a treaty simply because it could never have gotten through the Senate, because the hydrocarbon industry damned well would never have allowed it. Colloquy with Ferg there. A note coming in from Flavio. Subject line, Nicaragua. So why is it a mistake to compare Trump's Paris decision to Nicaragua's? The problem with the comparison and the implied world condescension it contains is the glaring absence of context. Syria didn't sign the agreement, protracted civil war that the United Nations estimates may have displaced 12 million people and resulted in more than 250,000 deaths. Meanwhile, Nicaraguan leaders said they declined to enter the Paris Agreement not because they didn't want to abide by new emission standards, advice from wealthier countries with larger economies. Blessed with 19 volcanoes, high wind, warming its economy to try to reduce its dependence. That dependence meant that the market fluctuations led to 12-hour battery and brought the economy. The decision was made that we had to begin shifting toward renewable energy, Gabriel Sanchez, agency pro-Nicaragua, told NPR. A set of policies was put in place that would allow renewable energy projects to be developed in Nicaragua. By 2015, renewables were generating about half of Nicaragua's electricity, but government officials say the number is on track to reach 90% by 2020, according to the World Bank. Renewables constitute 13% of the United States energy production. Bottom line, Nicaragua already embraces renewable energy, has for far longer than the U.S. I kind of suspected something like that was at work. So in many ways, the United States is not in the company of two other nations. The United States is all by itself. I don't think anybody's going to call Syria or Nicaragua developed or so-called, and this is a privileged term, first world nations. It's just us. And I don't know how the guys with all the shiny stuff on their costumes over in the Pentagon think about it. I can only tell you how I think about it. When one nation on earth stands in the way of solving a grave existential crisis, and when that crisis reaches critical mass, when the effects of climate change become so obvious that even assholes, otherwise known as Republicans and Trumpanzees, can't avoid seeing them, when that happens, and there's one country that has become a climate pariah, what then does the rest of the world do? Does the rest of the world sit back and say, oh, well, the United States has decided that it really doesn't care if the biosphere of planet Earth is sufficiently capable of supporting human life, so we'll let the United States decide to help kill off the majority of life on Earth. You know, except the cockroaches that will, in a couple of million years, evolve into 6-foot-tall sentient beings who will worship us as gods. What does the rest of the world do? If I, and of course I'm not, probably not suited to it either, but if I were one of those guys sitting in a windowless room somewhere in the Pentagon, and I mean, it's real. They sit around thinking about out there stuff that could turn into a real mess real fast. This is one of those things I'd be thinking about. It would probably start economically with a general agreement by the entire world not to do business with us anymore. Because after all, as Calvin Coolidge famously noted, the business of America is business. Take business away, and there's not a lot to us. We are a nation that, granted, you've got Jefferson out there in history thinking we were going to become a nation of enlightened farmers. Right. But for the most part, the United States, despite all of the talk about, oh, they're a beacon of freedom, the United States exists and has always existed as a profit-generating entity. Any good that has come along the way has been ancillary to and not a result of the relentless desire to make profits. No, Barquay says in the chat room, Bob Kincaid, we're the world's ATM, and they've come to rely on that. Well, when we become a pariah state, and make no mistake, this is a step toward becoming a pariah state, the value of the U.S. dollar will cease to have the stability that has made it the world currency that it is. You know, there's that old saying out there that economically, when the United States sneezes, the world gets the flu. Some truth in that. So it's worth thinking about. And if you think about it much, you'll find yourself probably right disturbed. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, speaking of ice shelves the size of Delaware, if the goddess of irony was paying a little bit more attention, Trump's announcement would have come on Titanic Tuesday and not today. True. But it did fall on Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I'd say making a conscious decision to try to adversely affect the ability of human life to exist on planet Earth well, that's pretty thorny, wouldn't you agree? Now, bear in mind, it's not like the Siena senile citizen has not had good counsel on this issue. Barack Obama spoke to him about it. International Business Time has the report. Following news that the Trump administration withdraws from the Paris Climate Agreement, former President Barack Obama was quick to criticize, quote, the absence of American leadership in leading the charge in the fight against climate change. In a Thursday statement released shortly after the decision was formally announced, Obama called on our states, cities, and businesses to lead the charge in mitigating global emissions.
I believe the United States of America should be at the front of the pack. But even in the absence of American leadership, even as this administration joins a small handful of nations that reject the future, I'm confident that our states, cities, and businesses will step up and do even more to lead the way and help protect for future generations the one planet we've got.
Ever the optimist, I'm not willing to, I don't share his optimism. And of course there, because I'm Bob Kincaid, a little ray of sunshine, there is additionally something more to be noted. There is a contingent, and I'm kind of halfway in it, and I've talked about it in the past, of people who think that, who say, my friend Mike Rozelle is one of them, who say that we do not even begin to comprehend the draconian nature of the changes that would have to be made to fruit to, at this point in time, to truly forestall, if at all possible, the horrors that are going to come our way as a result of catastrophic climate change. That we can't sort of half measure our way to it. That there is a future out there, well, like what Flavio sent in about the Nicaraguans facing 12-hour blackouts. Well, there's a future that has that in it for places like us. Oh, and by the way, what with us not being in the Paris Climate Accords anymore, it's worth noting that we don't have a seat at the table. All the other countries that are signatory to the accord can sit down and make rules about it, and they can decide who's going to do what and what the emission standards are going to be and what the economic policy around it's going to be. And the door will be closed. And if Uncle Sam goes and knocks on the door, oh, we're sorry, you can't come in. We're in here plotting a new, clean, green, renewable, sustainable energy future, and you're not part of it. You need to just go home. You're not welcome here. Now, because I'm a history nerd, I'm prone to looking at other points in time when we have done really stupid things as a country that have led to disastrous outcomes. And the first thing, frankly, that popped into my mind is the League of Nations. In the aftermath of the First World War, whatever you want to say about Woodrow Wilson, and there's plenty to say about him, we said some of them. Yeah, he was a racist, for starters. Like Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, Woodrow Wilson thought the Klan was pretty cool. But he did have a different view of the aftermath of the First World War than, say, Georges Clemenceau and David Lloyd George. in France and Great Britain, respectively. Those two countries had just been through a living hell and wanted to punish Germany, punish. And make sure that Germany understood how despicable its conduct had been. And just wring every last centime, sou, and the shilling and pence out of it. Woodrow Wilson was not quite so convinced. But nonetheless, in the aftermath of the First World War, there was a notion bandied about that we would create a world organization that would be created primarily for the purpose of making sure that the series of unfortunate accidents that led to the opening of that abattoir in 1914 never happened again. And using his treaty powers, Woodrow Wilson signed the League of Nations Treaty on behalf of the United States and then came home and began to lobby the people and the Senate for its ratification. A Republican from Maine by the name of Henry Cabot Lodge stopped it in its tracks. In so doing, he used the same tiresome bullshit rhetoric that we hear today.
Well, we can't sign off on that. We're going to be giving up American sovereignty.
It's the same bullshit rhetoric that was used in the Brexit campaign. And so the United States didn't sign on to the League of Nations and sat back and watched as a few wayward sparks buried deep in the ashes of the First World War stayed warm and eventually touched off a little bit of tinder through the 1930s, and by 1939 had roared back to life. And the next thing you know, the world was consumed in another disastrous, blood-sodden military nightmare. The goddess of irony is paying attention. It is no accident that this decision reaches us fully 3 days after Memorial Day. And I fear that that this is a blunder similar to the blunder of not entering the League of Nations when we had a chance. By the way, News Ninja Gene tells me, according to ye olde BBC, it will take 3 years to get out of the Paris Accords if the orange cream orangutan does it one way. Faster in, they go through the UN. We'll see, I suppose. We'll see. But this doesn't have a happy outcome. And I honestly don't know if... There we are with the if again. Let's say in 2020, a few million more people answer correctly on the quadrennial single question national IQ test. Can the new president walk in and say, "Hooray! We're back. We want to get back in the accord, okay? Can we, please?" Would they let us? I don't know. I really don't know. Who knows? Maybe in the meantime, the Republican Congress can try to pass a law that says the United States shall never, no how, no way, no enter into any treaties regarding climate. Would that be constitutional? Would it be an intrusion upon the executive power? Would it matter when it goes up to the Supreme Court, controlled by Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kennedy? I have no good answers there. It's kind of a wait and see thing. But it's also predicated on something that I don't have a lot of faith in. The idea that the American people can actually collectively pass the quadrennial one question national IQ test. Yeah, Barkway, that would be a nightmare. Sorry. That comes with the turf when you're a little ray of sunshine like me. John, somewhere out on the road, subject line, climate accord. This action will accelerate the utter isolation of the U.S. China in the last year has fired up the AIIB, the Singapore Gold Exchange, the BRICS Bank. 80% of the world has now joined. We're hosed. I don't know. But we have isolated ourselves. But golly Moses, it is a happy, happy kind of isolation. I mean, just well, there's the open question as to whether or not, as to why CNN continues to pay Rick Bro-Fro-Mix Fetus Fondler Santorum to opine about anything, since he has all the relevance of a buggy whip in an episode of The Jetsons. But they do. And so they brought him on to talk climate and renewable energy and so forth. And you want a hockey puck for this. Just please. Allison Camerota was hosting a discussion between Bro-Fro-Mix and former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, who the first time I watched this convinced me she herself was wishing she had a hockey puck.
Donald Trump also has a different opinion about all this. He tweeted about this, and when he heard this, Crooked Hillary now blames everybody but herself, refuses to say she was a terrible candidate, hits Facebook and even Dems and DNC. She then retorted on Twitter, "People in covfefe houses should not throw covfefe." So that's clever and that's funny, but there is a serious note to this, Rick, that I want to get to about the covfefe kerfluffle. And I do want to ask you about it because just this weekend you said on State of the Union that you think the president should stop tweeting, that it's a distraction, it gets him in trouble. Do you feel that covfefe is the tipping point where other Republicans or those in the White House will demand the same?
I didn't say the president should stop tweeting. I said the president should stop tweeting about the media, you know, being mean to him and on things that are a distraction from his agenda. He's got a very big announcement coming out today that's going to be very important to my state, to West Virginia, to Ohio, to Michigan.
Yeah.
It has to do with climate. If he wants to get on message, then he needs to pull out of the climate, the Paris Climate Accord, or maybe even a halfway measure.
Submit
it to the United States Senate, which should have been done in the first place. And by the way, Democrats, many of them won't vote for it. They'll talk a good game, but no, it's devastating to working men and women in their states.
Those are the kinds of things he needs to focus on.
There are 3.3 million people in America who are working in the clean energy industry. If you look at my state, there are almost 90,000 jobs in clean energy right now. In Michigan, in Ohio, almost 90,000. It is insane for you to say that this is going to devastate the economy if he pulls out when it's going to devastate the economy. It is going to devastate the economy if he pulls out. Our states, our country, not leading. The number one job in America right now, the number one job, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is a wind turbine technician. In Ohio, they're building wind turbines. Scott Walker in Wisconsin just sent out an RFP for biodigesters.
Okay.
We should be building that stuff and sending it abroad.
Okay.
It is insane to allow China and other countries to take the lead.
The American worker gets hurt when energy prices go up. Germany pays twice what we do for electricity because they went off and didn't use the market. We have a fracking revolution that is driving down costs of electricity.
Than coal.
He's not talking about coal. But it's true. Solar and wind are cheaper than coal. But you remember when he was running for president and the fetus fondler told us the story about his grandpappy, the coal miner, I think somewhere along the way coughed a little bit. Pap, I think I got the black lung. Right, but he's not talking about coal. He's not we're not going to talk about coal, even though coal was a centerpiece of Marcus Aurelius's entire campaign. Not going to talk about coal.
Are gas, cheaper than coal.
Which is lowering emissions and creating jobs
and natural gas can
That's
be a part
future.
Of the mix. Don't even say that, Rick. Right now,
all right, last word.
All right, I'm just saying. Right now, China is canceling 107 of its coal plants because why? Solar and wind are cheaper than coal. Same in India.
The debate
not
will
reliable.
Continue.
It's not consistent.
Obviously, this is a very hot.
Wait a minute. Okay, that was the part we were waiting for. Rick Santorum, super genius, declared that wind and solar are not reliable, not consistent. Whoop! You know why the sun's not going? You know why the sun's not reliable? Because it's going to burn out in a few billion years. And Rick Santorum is going to be sitting up in heaven, right there at the right hand of the Father, with his little fetus kid sitting right next to him, and he's going to say, "See, I told you it wasn't reliable." I think he's mixed up the reliability of wind and solar with the reliability of human beings. Once upon a time, the United States, unless this is apocryphal, and it may be, signed treaties with indigenous peoples in this country that said the land that was set aside for the said indigenous peoples would be theirs for as long as water flows, wind blows, and grass grows. Then, of course, we the people of the United States, just violated the living bejesus out of that, out of those treaties. But the reason that that language was used was because there's a sort of perpetuity to the idea of water flowing and wind blowing and grass growing. What he's getting at is the, and it is a real technological issue. What he's getting at is the question of storage and transmission. Now, you can have a coal-fired or gas-fired power plant, and you can burn that filthy crap, and you can transmit the, you can transport the energy produced across vast differences. Differences? Distances. See, this is one of the side effects of watching like 3, 4, 5 screens at a time. But you can transport it across vast distances, but you lose, okay, one, when you burn these hydrocarbons, the thermal value of it, a shit ton of it, goes up the stack. And you lose even more of it in the transportation process. So that you wind up with an energy source that mostly goes to waste, which is the ultimate in not consistent and not reliable. When you're wasting more than you're using, that is not an effective system. And that is the coal-fired power grid. And when you rely on massive centralized production facilities, well, look, I live in West Virginia, and we've got gaps in our archive here that speak to the unability and the inconsistency of our S is the fact that Germany, whatever its energy costs may be, and oddly enough, I didn't meet standing on street corners with tin cups filled with pencils. I saw instead were solar panels on every flat roof surface site, and so there's no mention of the fact that Germany measures its annual power outages in minutes, whereas the United States measures them in days. And it remains one of my fondest goals, one of my fondest dreams, to get this little radio enterprise away from coal-fired power. Note coming from Brother Deacon Asa. That fucking fetus fondler should be dragged by his heels to the Agua Caliente solar facility in Arizona, which can generate 60% of its 290-megawatt capacity at night! All right. But wind and solar are, you know, unreliable and inconsistent. I wonder how much the American Petroleum Institute or the Coal Association or Frackers R Us paid that little pissant to say that. But that's the kind of response there's been from Trump pansies and wingnuts all day long. And by the way, just because we're the country that invented the atomic bomb. Not saying it was a good thing, but it takes a hell of a lot of technological willpower and muscle to do that. We're also the country that put several people, for brief periods of time, on the moon! Once upon a time, when we believed we could do great things, we spanned tremendous distances via engineering marvels of bridge building. I live 6 miles from an engineering marvel. It's not much to look at least not on the upside. If you run over, if you want to see what the New River Gorge Bridge looks like, you can just run over to headon.live, headon.live, and you will in fact see a magnificent photograph shot by our own brother Deacon Asa of that engineering marvel. A single steel arch span going from mountaintop to mountaintop, over a mile in length, 786 feet above the canyon floor, that can withstand hurricane force winds and sway 7 feet from side to side and not break. We did that. We did that. And it is one of the most more frustrating aspects of the modern troglodyte Republican Party. These assholes. That where once upon a time they were the party of American exceptionalism, they have now become the party of, we can't do that. We ain't quite smart enough. But Brondo's got electrolytes. That's what pranks crave. We're not seeking to violate the wall expressed by the concept of E equals MC squared. All we need to do is figure out a way to take battery technology, storage technology, which is growing exponentially, and marry that to a new transmission technology, generally referred to as Grid 2.0. And the steps are already being made. Sparky, up in Northern California, has a smart meter. The power company knows when the power goes out. They know before anybody can even pick up the phone and call that the power's out, and they know where to shift the power to. California, of course, is at the forefront of the expansion of solar energy technology. And so they're trying to get more panels on more roofs. Here, however, I've got a senator who some years ago, as I've mentioned before, said, in 100 years, solar energy and wind energy might be the energy of the future. Future, 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 future. But right now, America needs coal. Stupid bastard. And so, sorry, America. The hillbillies are going to drag you down with us. Come on down here. Oh, you're going to love it. I mean, you have any idea how many different ways you can use a car that's up on blocks? I mean, you can make it a picnic table. You can store your winter clothes in the trunk of it in the summer, and your summer clothes in the trunk of it in the winter. You can use the back seat for a doghouse. Come on down. Yeah, that's right. That's what happened today. You didn't realize it, did you? Donald J. Trump, hillbilly-in-chief, just hillbillified the entire United States of America. But hey, at least you get moonshine. And NASCAR. I hate talking that way. Because I'm a proud hillbilly. There's a lot to be proud of in being a hillbilly. Just not lately. But that's where we are. Sister Carol Baker, I might get an amen from her on the notion that we're all in Hooterville now, brethren and sistren. And we are far from done with all the thorns. Ron in Raleigh has a note. Not reliable, eh? These are the same people that still believe trickle-down economics actually works, despite being shown to be a failure at least three times now. By the way, did Henry Cabot Lodge ever apologize for being wrong about the League of Nations? No. They never do! A lot of people went to a lot of graves this past Memorial Day, and every single grave of a service member who died in the Second World War should have inscribed on it, courtesy of Henry, or brought to you by Henry Cabot Lodge. Consequences. Just, you know, consequences. Steve in New York said to, I'll be right back, Bob. I have to relight the pilot light for the sun. Whew. Oh, damn it. It's out again. Yeah. So that's... That's where we find ourselves 8 minutes into the second hour of the program at the end of the filibobster. We got $160 to raise this evening, 16 at 10, 10 at 16, 1 at 6, yada, yada, yada. We are thus far at zero. Technically, we're $40 in thanks to our subscribers this evening. We had a couple of subscription payments fail this evening, or this morning, but that happens sometimes. Hopefully it's not somebody that's gotten all pissed off and decided to, you know, to hell with it. But we're $40 along, and hopefully we'll get another $160 along so we don't have to jump out on a Friday on the Front Porch Miracle the first Friday in June. The lines are open. By the way, a quick word, because there was some confusion. If you dial into 304-574-8178 and somebody's already on the line, it'll just kick you to voicemail. And that's why that happens. It's not automatic. That means somebody's on the line. That's how you reach the program, 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, which works for some but not for others, 304-663-4676. And, of course, from anywhere on the planet, you can always use Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And that'll get you right into the program, just like the two phone lines will. You know, I'm sitting here looking for a bumper. And you can just thank me. And I do it because I'm a nice guy. All this talk, all this hour about the Paris Climate Accords, climate change, solar energy. Because I'm such a nice guy, I will not. I promise. I will not bump out of this segment with Debbie Boone singing "You Light Up My Life." 'Cause I'm just that nice a guy. Okie doke. Carol Baker pointing out, amen. At the Burning Cross Trailer Park, we know about heat generation. Come for the fine living. Stay for the economic anxiety. You bet. So it's it being a Thursday, this first day of June, we have the Green News Report coming up. If you want to get in on the conversation, I encourage you to do so and not wait till like 2 or 3 minutes before the program ends and then decide that we've got, you know, we need to talk for 15 or 20 minutes. If 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly. This is listener supported to the tune of $160 this evening. Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. Climate change is real. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Madman drove from his engines in the summer with a teenage diplomat. The weather charts, see if it was safe outside. And little early birdie came by in his curly whirly and asked me if I needed a night, blinded by the light.
down, but she never got touched. She's gonna make it to the night. She's gonna make it through the night.
It's Thursday, June 1, 2017.
As of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country.
Green News Report special coverage. Au revoir, Paris. Donald Trump withdraws the U.S. from the historic Paris Climate Agreement.
That amazing story and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
At what point do they start laughing at us as a country?
I'd say now. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, an historic day concerning an historic accord and an historic speech that took place just moments ago before airtime by Donald Trump in the White House Rose Garden.
Yes, that's right. On Thursday afternoon, President Donald Trump, who famously called climate change a hoax invented by China, announced that he is sticking with his campaign promise to withdraw the United States from the United Nations Paris Agreement on Climate Change, the landmark global agreement signed in 2015 by 192 nations to cut the carbon emissions that cause dangerous global warming.
The United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord but begin negotiations to re-enter either the Paris Accord or in really entirely new transaction on terms that are fair to the United States, its businesses, its workers, its people, its taxpayers. So we're getting out.
Trump justified the decision with wildly inaccurate claims and outright falsehoods, far too many to debunk here, misleading Americans on the treaty and its impacts on the United States. Withdrawal is a victory for the nationalist wing among Trump's White House advisors, and it's a victory for the fossil fuel industry's decades-long disinformation campaign to cast doubt on climate science. Renegotiating is a non-starter. The current agreement itself took 20 years, and France, Germany, and Italy immediately after the speech issued a joint statement declaring that the agreement cannot be renegotiated. The Paris exit has major long-term repercussions for our foreign relations, our global competitiveness, and, of course, pollution and the planet. Trump's formal exit will take at minimum 4 years, and the earliest it could take effect is November 4th, 2020, the day after the next presidential election.
That makes the next presidential election even more important than it might have already been.
An unusually broad spectrum of voices tried to convince Trump to stay in the global accord. Foreign leaders from Europe to the Pope to India to China warned Trump repeatedly that U.S. diplomatic relations will be severely damaged. One former White House official asked Politico, quote, "How will global leaders ever trust the U.S. again to keep our word as a nation?" Major corporations like Google, Apple, PG&E, Dow Chemical warned Trump that withdrawal will disadvantage America and its economy, hurt U.S. global competitiveness, and shut us out of global clean energy jobs. Even oil giants like Exxon and Chevron tried to convince Trump to stay in to, quote, keep a seat at the table. 70% of Americans wanted the U.S. to remain in the agreement, and that includes a majority of Republican voters.
Which is kind of amazing when you think about it and how disinformed they have been about climate over the years.
In the long term, U.S. withdrawal is hugely consequential for the planet. We're already seeing accelerating impacts like rising seas and deadly extreme weather events. A new analysis by the Associated Press projects that a rogue United States could add up to a third of a degree Celsius of additional warming all by ourselves, meaning the world will have a far more difficult time avoiding dangerous and irreversible impacts of warming.
Which, of course, is just a tiny, tiny, tiny amount, as Donald Trump said today, as if it was completely meaningless.
Demonstrating he does not understand the science. The U.S. withdrawal could lead to backsliding among other nations, but leaders around the world affirmed their own country's commitments this week. The European Union and China on Friday will announce a new partnership on climate action, what the Financial Times called, quote, a stark realignment of forces. And states and cities are forging ahead with climate action, like California Governor Jerry Brown in an interview Wednesday with the LA Times.
California will do everything it can to not only stay the course, but to build more support in other states, other provinces, and with other countries.
So Trump can undermine the Paris Agreement, but he can't kill it. To be clear, the Paris Agreement targets were not enough to avoid catastrophic warming impacts. It was only a start, a framework. Trump's move is a major setback, but a future U.S. president can rejoin it. The Paris Agreement is a framework for transitioning to clean energy, and regardless of what Trump does, the market is moving away from fossil fuels.
And moving away from Donald Trump. This decision ends up hurting the nation as much or more than it hurts the planet, in truth. For much more on that story and all the ones that we couldn't get to at all today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your special coverage Green News Report.
You're gonna keep on fooling around, oh, baby. You're gonna mess up a good day. You're gonna mess up a good day.
You know what would be fun? If we could ever do it, figure out a way to do it. A battle of the jocks between three bumper music monsters. Kathy Malloy, I'll include myself, and either Brad and or Desi. And just, you know, segue from one, you know, from one turntable to another. That would be a hoot of a party. This is the horn. Thorn in the Side Thursday for the first day of June, 2017. I love the places where these little good-natured conflicts develop, and I'm going right to the phones in a second here. On the one hand, I get notes from Sister Carol Baker. Excellent bumper. I love me some Manfred Mann. Marty, written by Bruce Springsteen, performed by Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Thanks, Bob. Need this one. And then from James, if you listen to the original Springsteen, you'll burn Manfred Mann's version. I think they both have their relative merits. I think they're totally different songs. I think Blinded by the Light, as performed by Manfred Mann's Earth Band, actually becomes a cover that they really made their own, as opposed to the very, very spare, austere version that Springsteen came up with. They're totally different compositions. Manfred Mann heard the line, "The Calliope crashed to the ground," and so consequently you get that Calliope effect at the beginning. I think that's neat, and that's creative. Of course, we all know that thanks to Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper, the proper pronunciation is Calliope. Calliope. Talking about the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches who will worship us as gods. Loretta, wait to be the big beetle Buddha. And a second ago, he said, blue. Okay, let's run over and check in with, I'm suspecting this is John, somewhere out.
Yeah, let me apologize, Vance. I'm in Arkansas, so the high technology here will be somewhat, I'll take a shot at it anyway.
Well, and get close enough, say hi to, say howdy to Haley. She's out there somewhere.
Hanging. Yeah, but I thought I would take a minute. I don't know if it bores anybody or not, but I thought I'd expand a little bit on my little note there to talk about, because it's kind of it's pressuring. You know, you've got Iran, you've got various, you know, even Venezuela is being pressured by China to get out of the petrodollar. Stop indexing their oil in dollars, which has always been a very powerful leverage that we've had in maintaining our currency values. And then China firing up, like I said, firing up that bank, the Asia International Investment Bank, and the Singapore Gold Exchange, all those were designed And there's a beautiful website about it that I was referring to. But the whole thing is designed to get around and to basically cut out the IMF and the World Bank and have a secondary route to the Bank of International Settlements. If all that stuff gets done, and like I said, even Great Britain has joined that bank, which means that even our freaking allies are now moving into a direction where they're not going to need or want dollars to buy stuff. And if that becomes the case, our money's not going to be worth crap. And we're going to be out there in the free, because nobody likes us. And this jackass in the office right now, he's it's almost like if I was a conspiracy theorist person, I would swear up and down that this son of a bitch was put in there and he's doing exactly what he was told to do. Piss everybody off, break alliances, trash everything in sight, and ruin the United States as being a first-tier country and a world power. And if he keeps on, and if he keeps on much longer, that's what's going to end up happening. And, I'm starting to, I know I tongue-in-cheek it a lot, but I'm starting to get really scared because this guy is, he is hell-bent to tear everything all to hell. Your thoughts?
Well, I think at the bottom line, somewhere along the way, there's a bottom line for Donald Trump. He doesn't do anything that's not going to make him money, John. It took his regime 3 days to offer condolences for what happened in Portland. But he was Johnny on the spot with what happened in the Philippines. Okay? Because he's got business in the Philippines. He doesn't give a shit about Portland. Can't make any money off Portland.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. An article ran across my news feed today that the Obama sanctions against Russia in reference to a secondary embassy act building structure that they have over in Chesapeake Bay was one of the little penalties that was put in place by Obama because of all the, the quote-unquote Russian hacking and screwing around with elections and stuff. Came across the news feed today that Trump lifted those sanctions. And it's like, everything that Obama has done, especially all that was the one downside of it, Obama doing all this executive action stuff, is that now Trump goes in and he can do the same
thing.
Well,
sure, John, it's a downside, but you can call it a downside, but it was the only side. It was that or just sit there and let the Republican Party shit all over the future.
Yeah, I agree. I totally do. I'm saying it's kind of a
sad thing. Trump was gambling. Or not Trump, I'm sorry. Oh, wash my mouth out with Octagon soap. Obama was gambling that the country would get the quadrennial one question IQ test right. He was wrong.
Oh yeah, he was wrong. And I get into conversations with people, and it bothers me a little bit. It's just like, I'm sitting. I was getting loaded about the time he was making his speech. I was getting loaded in some place.
Oh, and not in a good way. You're driving. Not in a good way. You were getting loaded.
No. I was at a shipper getting loaded up. They had a TV on at the driver's break room. And I was, sitting there and just kind of chilling out.
Yeah, because I was about to say, John, pull over, buddy. We don't need you having one of those Tiger Woods kind of incidents.
No, I don't have enough hair to look that bad. But it was so amazing to watch. I'm in Arkansas right now. I got loaded in Arkansas. And I won't dial it in any tighter than that.
You gotta stop saying that, John. Although that sounds like a damn fine T-shirt, and Haley may just very well get right on top of it. I got loaded in Arkansas.
Anyhow, but I'm sitting in the driver's room, and he's doing his little dog and pony show speech. And the entire, and this is amazing, but these bunch of guys, these are all just, you know, your distribution loader type folks. And the minute he made that comment, they're, yeah, all right, that's it. And they were clapping and having themselves a jolly good old time. And I'm looking, I'm going, you know, and I could hear this voice in my head. And I forget which actor it said it, maybe more than one, but I just could hear this low rumbling voice saying, and so it begins. And I'm like, ah! I mean, they were cheering, and they were like, yeah, stick it to them. Enough of those damn commie liberal bastards. You know, XOB, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, holy smoking baloney. And I asked the question. I said, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And this one guy encapsulated the entire question in one statement. This is America. We don't need nobody else. And it's like out of the mouth of babes.
Right, until it's the entire world against us.
Yeah.
See, that's one of those interesting things about the Chinese looking at ways to set up their own means of world currency manipulation or management. Let's say management.
Yeah.
I remember when somebody else tried to do that, John.
Little dude
with a porn stash who had a hobby of writing Arabic romance novels by the name of Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
He tried that and got squashed like a bug.
Yeah, well, there's those who believe.
China's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah. Well, the point I was making was that Muammar Gaddafi was doing the same thing because Libya was sitting on a mass ton of gold in there because they got gold in that damn country. And he was trying to create an African currency, and he was getting people to sign on to that. And then magically, all of a sudden, Hillary Clinton wants to blow the hell out of me. I won't take it any further than that. But, I mean, yeah. And that Bank of International Settlements, which is like the big bank that does all the, you know, switching currency back and forth with the buy crap, well, they're creating this thing called an SDR, which is a special drawing rights currency, which is like just strictly an in-house currency. But they're trying to create a currency now with the support of China and Russia and other countries, so that your currency is valued in relation to the amount of oil that you have, the amount of iron ore you have. It's this really, really weird percentage-based formula that I looked at it, and it's like, that's complicated stuff there. But it's like, you know, these countries are bending over backwards, especially since, and I'm seeing this all over the type of news feeds I've got picked up, that ever since Trump got into office, it is accelerating. Countries are just, they are cozying up to China like nobody's business. And they are literally trying to set up where...
Well, there's going to... Look, I mean, that's just a law of nature in action.
Yeah.
The absence of the United States is going to create a vacuum, and someone is almost scientifically bound to try to fill it.
Well,
I mean, you think the Germans don't realize that they could sell some fine automobiles in China? You think they're averse to maybe building some of them there?
Oh, hell no. I mean, that's the thing. It's this short-sightedness, both, I guess, the American people and the, you know, the Republicans and the so-called smart folk or whatever. We're going to be paying for this jackass for decades, long after he's gone, by however, whatever means he gets out of. You know, impeach him, 25th-ing, he dies, whatever. However he disappears from the stage, we're going to pay for this guy I would say, for at least a generation.
Well, look, we're still paying for the Bush tax cuts.
Oh, yeah.
W's tax cuts, the chickens came home to roost. It was just, the timing was just a shade off. If he could have just gotten out of office, it could have been pinned on, and, you know, they did anyway, pinned it on the black guy. And so, even, and that's not even over yet. This is gonna have a generational ripple effect, John.
Oh yeah, and it's not. It's like I didn't listen to the entire speech. I just listened to part of it. But I mean, it's like the Green News Report kind of alluded to. This guy pulled, quote unquote, bunny ears facts. I mean, he pulled them out of. Not just thin air, but he reached way up his backside, pulled out nice big squishy stuff, and hurled it at the damn TV screen about how, oh, this is, you know, these draconian penalties, and it's anti-American, anti-business, and blah, da, 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 da. I'm sorry, when you've got major corporations that are on the phone begging you not to do this, but you've got to, you know, give some... You know, because he's getting his ass investigated by Russia, he's desperate for some political capital. So, oh, let's throw some more red meat to the uneducated babble monkey rubes out there so that they're all nice and happy and will continue to pressure to say that, oh, they did a damn interview with some people. I guess it was CNN or somebody. He went and asked a bunch of so-called Trump supporters, what letter grade would you give Trump for his performance? And now, of course, they probably edited this, but the bulk of the ones they showed were, oh, I'd give him an A plus. Oh yeah, he's trying, and you know, so it's that liberal media that keeps trying to downplay all his successes, and it's like facepalm, bam, you know. But anyhow. I just thought I'd bring that stuff up because I think that's where the hidden hammer's going to hit. Is it, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why Trump went to Saudi Arabia was to shore up our relationship with the, as you call them, good. Because as long as they stay on the dollar, then maybe it'll hold things back. But if Saudi Arabia ever tilts, that's it. You know, our money will be pretty much worthless anywhere. But well, anyway, I'll let you go to the next one.
It remains to be seen. Thank you, John. Drive careful. Enjoy lovely and scenic Arkansas.
Yeah, humid as hell. My fat butt is sweating like a dog. Catch you later, dude.
All right, later, John. Bye now. On the road in lovely scenic Arkansas. That's our buddy John. A couple of little notes along the way. Note from David in South Carolina, Stan. Notice a pattern? It is one outrageous action after another, just like in the campaign. It worked last time. Beware. Yep. Hey, thanks very kindly to Brian, with whom I've communicated over the years and has never, ever sent me an email that he claims the spell check changed his, in which he claims the spell check changed his name to Brain. Thank you, Brian, for knocking down some of the fundraising for this evening. Thank you very kindly. That means we are down to $135 to go in fundraising to keep from working on a Friday on the Front Porch Miracle, $135 to go. Thank you very much indeed, Brian. Very, very much indeed. By the way, you heard that line from Donald Gump, in which he said, hey, we're going to renegotiate a beautiful agreement or a totally different agreement. No, you're not. That's the political equivalent of O.J. Simpson saying he's going to go out and find the real killer. Okay? It really, really is. Hey, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa, when John was talking about the guys loading his truck, he went, whew! Asa noted, the guy yelled, this is America! Well, there ain't nobody else! While he was loading all the made-in-China merchandise into his assembled-in-Mexico truck on his way to deliver said merchandise, burning Saudi Arabian fossil fuels. Oh, we may get our comeuppance yet. But, you know, John has a point. There's a reason that we stay snuggled up to the good headloppers, our serene, majestic, noble, gracious friends, the Saudis, our partners in peace. Right? Yeah. God almighty. And the caravan of stupid it trundles along. It's worth noting that the House of Representatives recently voted to get rid of pesticide protections in the waters of the United States. This happened last week. H.R. 953 was the bill. H.R. 953 claims that the permitting system for the use of pesticides under the Clean Water Act is redundant. With another one of those Orwellian bill titles, this one's called Reducing Regulatory Burdens Act of 2017. And representing Bob Gibbs, a pig-licking from Ohio, he put together a bill that says that anybody applying a pesticide that the EPA has approved under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act would no longer require a Clean Water Act general permit. Well, hell, if you can use it, you can dump it in the water. Same thing, ain't it? Yeah, right. Opponents of the action are calling it the Poison Our Waters Act. The bill passed the Republican House by a 256 to 165 margin, and it'll go to the Senate. Here's one of the fun parts of it. You notice that 256 to 165 number? There aren't 256 Republicans in the House of Representatives. One lonesome little Republican, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick, who represents Bucks County and portions of Montgomery County in the Philly area, he voted against the bill. But 25 House Democrats, 25, voted to let more poison into the waterways of the United States. Over at the Natural Resources Defense Council, Mei Wu, the senior attorney there, said, this bill takes away the public's right to know about toxic pesticides we may be exposed to. It eliminates the current common sense requirement that communities should have access to basic information about what's being sprayed in waters that can pose risks for public health. God damn them. Because I'm sure no better living through chemistry outfit or pesticide manufacturer, I'm sure none of them lined the pockets of any of the members of Congress who voted for that god-awful piece of shit legislation. No. Under the subject line, yummy, Charlie in Tennessee says, more things that poison insects and humans in my food, all for free. Yay. Yeah. By the way, Emmanuel Macron, president of France, continues to troll the Clementine Caligula, telling him he needs to make our planet great again. The mayor of Paris, who got herself in a bit of a kerfuffle lately over a meeting of sorts that she put the kibosh on, Anne Hidalgo. Well, she responded to the ogre's decision to pull us out of the Paris Climate Accord by saying that he has made a mistake that will have dramatic consequences. That incredible diplomatic achievement could not have been secured without the decisive role of the United States of America. That's why President Trump is committing a mistake with dramatic and fatal consequences. Regardless of President Trump's decision, the great cities of the world, in particular the 12 American C40 cities, remain resolutely committed to doing what needs to be done to implement the Paris Agreement. I hope she's right. But then again, there are so many parallels when you want to examine how Republicans go about doing legislative business. Remember when Charlotte, North Carolina, decided that it was really pretty stupid to get all worked up about who goes potty where? Remember that? You remember what happened as a result of that? The North Carolina legislature convened to declare that Charlotte would not have the right to declare that that people could use the potty they were comfortable with. Remember that? What's to stop the Republican Congress from passing a bill that, you know, that says cities can't do that? Cities can't work to rein in climate change inducing behaviors, processes. Hint, absolutely nothing. So, not that I want to give them any ideas, but don't be surprised if that doesn't come down the pike. What would we call it? Protecting America's cities from commie climate change hoaxers act of 2017. Could they do it? Would they do it? Come on, who are we talking about here? We're talking about a Congress who's one of whose first acts was to make sure that more poison, more pollution, more filth could be dumped in streams here in central Appalachia, where, you know, the waters begin that form some of the most of the great rivers of the southeastern United States. That Congress. I know, little ray of sunshine. Sorry. But it's the reality with which we have to cope. And it's frightening. Frustrating. Because right now, those of us who live in reality world are utterly powerless. From a legislative or political standpoint, to do anything to stop this. Once again, Donald Trump leading the Republican Party, and this is, once again, not just a Donald Trump thing. This is one of those Republican wet dream things. This is the kind of, this is one of those things, that they've been spooging their shorts over collectively for a generation. Well, they're untouchable. And it is a galling sensation. Now, we might be able to do something about it if we could get our collective shit together as Democrats, liberals, progressives, what have you, and actually focus on the real problem instead of constantly wetting, a portion of us constantly wetting ourselves. But her emails, Goldman Sachs speeches, Jesus Christ! I saw some of that earlier. Hillary Clinton made some comments about why she lost. And the usual suspects were right there, as if on cue, as if they were pets of Dr. Pavlov and had just heard the bell ring. And it just reminds me that we have on the so-called left a case of attention deficit disorder. That is crippling. We, on the left, we have political attention deficit disorder. There were probably, that's speculation. I'm not going to do it. Oh, and by the way, David in South Carolina, Stan, sends me the following via the Tampa Bay Times. Hurricane season 2017 began today. Craig Pittman writing at the Tampa Bay Times. Hurricane season starts with nobody in charge at FEMA or NOAA. 'Cause it doesn't matter to him. Hurricanes have nothing to do with climate change. And as long as it doesn't do anything to that dumpy pile of bricks, Mar-a-Lago, who cares? The 2017 hurricane season started Thursday without anyone in charge at the two federal agencies most involved in dealing with hurricanes. 5 months after Donald J. Trump was sworn in as president, no one has taken the reins at the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which is in charge of preparing for and then dealing with the aftermath of a hurricane. The last FEMA boss was a Florida man, W. Craig Fugate, who departed in January after 7 years on the job. Fugate previously served as the head of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. Trump finally nominated someone at the end of April, but he has yet to be confirmed. It's because of the stupid Democrats. But he has made no move whatsoever to appoint anyone to head the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They're a bunch of disloyal climate change deniers. Yeah. For those of you keeping score at home, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is, in fact, predicting an above-average hurricane season 17. Great. You know, you'd be tempted to whip on Trump and his Mar-a-Lago dump or his golf club where you can get bed bugs, according to litigation that was filed. But there are innocent people involved. And that's always a problem. Don't want you don't want to see the innocent suffer because of what this man has done, and he, unlike we, give a fuck. By the way, one of those things mentioned in FEMA positions not being filled. I have since presently thought out north, and I talked about it some months back. I have kept a Washington Post story open because they continually update it. And I look at it every week or so. And it's not inspiring. Collaborating with the Partnership for Public Service, the Washington Post has a running tally of whom and what positions the Trump regime has bothered to fill. As of this evening, the first day of June 2017, fully 132 days, 134 days into his presidency, there are 15 key positions requiring Senate confirmation that are awaiting nomination. He has formally nominated 63 people. 39 have been confirmed, including apparent serial liar Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. Otherwise known as that jug handle eared fuckwit. So 15 awaiting nominations, 63 formally nominated, 39 confirmed. Stupid Democrats, who aren't in the majority. But the number that gives one pause, or gives me pause, is the fact that this regime, this gang, this junta, has not bothered to even nominate 442 positions requiring Senate confirmation. We still don't have a Secretary of the Navy. We still don't have Secretary of the Army. By this time in his misbegotten presidency, dim leader, as of May 20th, dim leader had 60 confirmed and 117 waiting to be confirmed, with an average confirmation time of 18 days. It was 94 confirmed, 49 awaiting as of May 20th for Pappy Bush. This is a presidency that is simply not interested in the work of governing. And they're not just insignificant positions. On the other hand, the regime got right out there in front of things and nominated, no, really, this is not a joke. This should more properly be on prayer meeting Wednesday. Maybe you've heard this already. Calista L. Gingrich has been nominated as ambassador to the Holy See, the throne of St. Peter, the Vatican. Her nomination has been referred to the Foreign Relations Committee, which I'm sure has completely forgotten by now the goings-on in Washington, D.C. of, say, the late 1990s. You know, when her now husband, Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, was banging her like a cheap gong while he was still married to another woman. Committing, what's the word, adultery. I guess they call it adultery because only adults can do it. So, yes, Comrade Kumquat has nominated a confessed adulteress to be the ambassador to the Vatican. Well, I mean, hell, he's a confessed sexual assaulter, so why the hell not? What's wrong with the two or three marriages among folks? Even though that whole divorce thing is still not looked kindly upon by Holy Mother Church. Former Playgirl pinup boy Scott Brown will be the ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa. His nomination has been reported out favorably. By the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. it has not been reported out favorably by the people of New Zealand and Samoa. Right. What are some of the... positions still awaiting nomination? No nominee for legal advisor at the Department of State. No nominee for the Assistant Secretary for Intelligence and Research. No nominee for Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security Affairs. Donald Trump really despises the Department of State. We've got a nominee for the Holy See. We still don't have a nominee for ambassador to Saudi Arabia. I guess Donnie's just going to handle that himself, him and the orb. No ambassador to Ireland. Nope. A huge list out of the Department of State. Still no Deputy Secretary, General Counsel, or Chief Financial Officer nominee at Agriculture. No Deputy Secretary at Commerce. We're just going to let Wilbur Ross run things. Department of Defense still doesn't have a General Counsel or an Inspector General or an Undersecretary for Policy or an Undersecretary for Intelligence. This is a regime sorely lacking in intelligence. No General Counsel of the Air Force, no Undersecretary of the Air Force, no Secretary of the Navy, no Secretary of the Army, no General Counsel of the Navy. There's a lot that goes into running the government. And the thing is, when you are actually prepared to become president, you've got a working list of people that you want to have fill positions. On the other hand, when you're Donald Trump, you just say, fuck it. We're going to let Steve Bannon put some chaos in the government. Still no deputy secretary at the Department of Education, because who needs that? No undersecretary for management and performance at the Department of Energy. No inspector general at the... Well, you wouldn't want one of those, because what's an inspector general do? Well, they make sure that the department follows the law and investigates things like breaking the law. We can't have anybody there who could investigate, you know, Dancing with the Stars, Rick Perry, who's now in charge of the goddamn nuclear arsenal. Are you nervous yet? Because some of these things should make a person right squirmy. No assistant attorney general for the National Security Division. No, of course not. No solicitor or deputy secretary at labor, because, you know, what do working people need with that? They just better be damn well happy that they got jobs. No deputy director for management at the Office of Management and Budget. Don't need one of those neither. Right. Yeah. And it goes on from there. Should we get? I don't know. How do you respond to that? Should we be grateful for that? At least somebody's not there doing his bidding and screwing up. Because there's plenty of screwing up as it is. There are still repercussions flowing from the double homicide, the double murder in Portland last Friday. The surviving defender has asked people to please quit treating him like some sort of white savior. Good on him. But more disturbing is the response of Multnomah County GOP Chair James Bueller, B-U-C-H-A-L. Don't care. He's an asshole. Yeah, trust me. I'll prove it. Interviewed by The Guardian, this maniac has said that because people are protesting against Trump and protesting against Republican policies that would effectively mean a death sentence for millions of Americans, he said that Republicans in Portland are thinking about alternatives to abandoning the public square. Those are his words. I'm sort of evolving to the point. How about that? Republicans evolving. I'm sure Gordon Klingenschmidt will discern the demons in him real soon. I'm sort of evolving to the point where I think that it is appropriate for Republicans to continue to go out there, and if they need to have a security force protecting them, that's an appropriate thing, too. A security force protecting them. What would you mean by that there, GOP Multnomah County Chairman? Well, what he means is the three percenters and the Oath Keepers.
Yeah, we're thinking about that because there are now belligerent, unstable people who are convinced that Republicans are like Nazis.
Oddly enough, that's not who got murdered the other night. One of the groups he's talking about, Oath Keepers, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Guardian notes, describes them as one of the largest radical anti-government groups in the U.S. The Three Percenters are a paramilitary group that pledges armed resistance against attempts to restrict private gun ownership. They were among the ones who showed up in Oregon when the invasion of the bird sanctuary took place. Yeah. So the Republican Party in Multnomah County, Oregon, has a groovy idea of maybe ginning up a little bit more domestic terrorism. Because that's what they do best. That's what Trumpansies do best. Frank's calling from Iowa on the stress line. Let's see if we can get him aboard. Hey, Frank. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, Frank, do me a favor. Try me back at 304-574-8178. I'm having stress line problems, okay?
Okay, man. I'll try.
All right. One of these days I'm going to figure out what's going on there. That or... well, you know. But... I want to hear? I get notes from Frank, and I want to hear from him. Want us to hear from him? And yeah, 18 minutes past the hour, and we are still at $135 to go in fundraising for the evening. Hopefully that will that number will decrease. If you want to help out, the Contribute tab is over at headonradionetwork.com. And just real easy just to do the PayPal thing. Because that's how we keep this little effort going. Kind of waiting here to see if Frank's going to call in. Oh, by the way, looks like we've got a little bit more of economic anxiety this time in Lexington, Kentucky. The main office of the Lexington Herald Leader newspaper, the paper of record there in Lexington. Several windows of theirs were shattered. And it looks like the shattering was done via small caliber gunfire. Lexington police are investigating. Exterior windows were damaged or destroyed on the first, second, and third level banks of windows of the press room. You know, where the reporters work. Wonder why that would happen. I wonder if that has anything to do with Trumpansies during the campaign running around with the approval of the candidate, shrieking and hooting and Sieg Heiling about the Lügenpresse.
No. Couldn't be. The Lexington police are investigating the event as criminal mischief. Well, of course they are. Mm-hmm. The windows were shot out Sunday morning between 9:45 and 11 a.m. Well, at least that means it weren't a Christian. Maybe they skipped Sunday school before they went to their snake handling main Sunday morning services. Fortunately, the press room is no longer in use. Oh, that's not where the reporters work. That would be where the actual presses are. The publisher of the paper is Rufus M. Friday. He said it's concerning. We're going to be vigilant and continue to do what we do. We're not going to be deterred by this senseless act of vandalism. And then there's the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. About a week ago, Greg Abbott signed a bill that would reduce the fees that good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Texans have to pay to get a handgun license, like concealed carry permit, that kind of thing. And there was a photo op, and they had it at a gun at a shooting range. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott proudly held up a target that had the bullseye shot out of it and showing it to members of the media, he said, "I'm going to carry this around in case I see any reporter." Because, Lügenpresse, fake media, fake news, lying media. There are still people who go to school and go to journalism school and want to be reporters, fulfill the secular sacred duties of the Fourth Estate. And the President of the United States and people like Governor Greg Abbott in Texas have put a bullseye on them. Here in West Virginia, just a few weeks ago, a man tried to ask questions of Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price in the People's Building, the state capital of West Virginia. He was taken to the ground and arrested for the affront of trying to speak unbidden to His Holiness, the Secretary of Health and Human Services. In D.C. a couple of weeks ago, security guards roughed up and gave the bum's rush to a D.C. journalist who was trying to ask FCC Commissioner Michael O'Reilly a question. And then, of course, there's what happened in Montana, in which now elected representative, soon to be sworn in Representative Greg Gianforte, tried to choke the life out of a journalist for The Guardian. Because freedom, right? Freedom. God Almighty. Do you find this
Do you find this as disturbing as do I? Is it okay for the governor of a state like Texas that has more guns in it than people to joke about how it might be kind of fun to shoot a journalist, a reporter? That'll learn them to not write nothing but happy things about me. Right? Hey, Frank, if you do want to try to call back in, that number again is 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Or anybody else, for that matter, if you want to engage in this Thorn in the Side Thursday conversation. What else? Lots of things. Have you arcing? All kinds of technology going goofy this evening. Have you ever heard of a professor by the name of Kianga Yamada Taylor? She's a woman of color. She's also a professor, a college professor. Last month, she delivered the commencement address at Hampshire College. She's a professor at Princeton University. She's a professor of African American studies. She is an expert in her field. And she has, because we have this little thing called the First Amendment in the United States of America, she has accurately described Donald Gump as a racist, sexist, megalomaniac. In a post published at The Stranger, they note that after she made those remarks, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, reported on her remarks and described them as an anti-POTUS tirade. After which she received in excess of 50 threats, some of them specific enough that she felt like it was absolutely necessary that she cancel the remainder of her book tour. She said, shortly after the Fox story and video were published, my work email was inundated with vile and violent statements. I've been repeatedly called nigger, bitch, cunt, dyke, shemale, and coon. I have been threatened with lynching and having the bullet from a 44 Magnum put in my head. She continued, I'm not a newsworthy person. Fox did not run this story because it was news, but to incite and unleash the mob-like mentality of its fringe audience, anticipating that they would respond with a deluge of hate-filled emails or worse. The threat of violence, whether it is implied or acted on, is intended to intimidate and to silence. Their side uses the threat of violence and intimidation because they cannot compete in the field of politics, ideas, and organizing. The true strength of our side has not yet been expressed in its size and breadth. and so they believe they are winning. We have to change this dynamic and begin to build a massive movement against racism, sexism, and bigotry in this country. I remain undaunted in my commitment to that project. And a reminder, yes, a noose was found at the Museum of African American History in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure little white wingers everywhere are having a hissy about the remarks of LeBron James after he, LeBron James, had the gate of his home in L.A. spray-painted with a racial epithet. A racist, not racialist, epithet. On the other hand, that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity. Well, Sean Hannity is terribly butthurt because of an onion. Hilarious. And in this case, you know, they criticize, they make fun of everybody. The target of their wit was Sean Hannity. Sort of. Yeah, it was Sean Hannity. And an art corpse of Rogers' releasing hundreds of tiny Hannities. I don't care who you are. And so butthurt Hannity took to the Twitter and said, "What is wrong with the left that they think these sorts of things are funny?" Hundreds of miniature Sean Hannitys burst from Roger Ailes' corpse. I suppose, as many other Twitter users did, precious little Sean Hannity must need a safe place because he's been triggered by the idea that there are hundreds of little maggot-like Hannitys oozing out of the corpse of Roger Ailes. I don't know why you people think this is funny. Right? Hey, let's go over and check in and see what Tracy's up to. Hey, Tracy. Tracy. Oh, I lost Tracy. Dadgummit, I overtalked. When you call in, and if I'm in the middle of a thought, you at least got to give me a chance to finish the thought. I love the Latin motto of the Onion. Tu stultus es. You're stupid. Let's see if we can find the. See if I can find the. Yeah, there it is. The offending article in question. Oh my goodness, it's got a Kathy Griffin style photo with it. There's a picture of the chest of some nondescript person with a necktie out of the way, and bursting from the chest cavity, and a white shirt around it, a bunch of blood covered Hannitys. Grasping and digging their way out of the flesh. Dateline, Palm Beach, Florida. Clawing over each other and gasping for air as they emerged. Hundreds of miniature Sean Hannitys reportedly burst from Roger Ailes' corpse Thursday, shortly after the form. You know what? This needs the Walter Cronkite voice. Clawing over each other and gasping for air as they emerged.
Hundreds of miniature Sean Hannitys reportedly burst from Roger Ailes' corpse Thursday shortly after the former Fox News CEO's death. At first, one little hand broke through his skin, and then dozens and dozens of Sean Hannitys just erupted out of Roger's chest cavity, said one witness, adding that the cacophony caused by the 2-inch-tall, mucus-covered Hannitys screeching right-wing talking points drowned out every other sound in the room. They were suddenly everywhere, shrieking about the war on Christmas, paid protesters, and coddled crybaby liberals on college campuses. One of the nasty little things even scampered up the wall and started gnawing on the doorframe. And my lord, they just smelled so foul. At press time, the miniature Sean Hannitys were ravenously devouring Ailes' corpse. Poor baby, I'd be triggered, too. Jesus, what? If that gets Sean Hannity all worked up, God, I hope Brain never writes to him and calls him a neoliberal. Right? Yeah. And by the way, people have asked me about Brain. Brain had a Brain didn't do real well in the chat room last night. Brain was not very nice. Brain not. Was rude and nasty, and Steve from Georgistan, for the first time, wielded his midweek utility chat room moderator lightsaber and zap went Brain, who referred to himself in the room as a real progressive, because real progressives vote for Donald Trump. Frank chose to write instead of call back. I was calling this evening, says Frank, Freight Train Frank, to ask about the possibility of an international travel boycott of the U.S. by businesses, schools, and other organizations because of Trump's refusal to adopt the Paris Climate Accords. The boycott could be similar to the one recently implemented in North Carolina because of bathroom purity. One example is that we, in Iowa, have the World Food Prize each fall. This event attracts people from all over the world. But why would anyone want to come to anywhere in the U.S. if we're so stupid we don't believe in science? Could this mean we can lose jobs, jobs, and more jobs? Signed, Frank. I like the idea. Boy, wouldn't it suck? Well, I mean, it already kind of is. They're having trouble getting bookings at some of Trump's nasty-ass hotels. Wouldn't it be lovely if... Sometimes the spoiled children have to be sent to their room without supper. And maybe that's what needs to happen to the United States. Maybe the rest of the world... needs to say, you don't want to work and play well with others, then we don't want to work and play with you. So good luck getting your Trumpansy followers to book rooms in your shitty hotel, Donnie. Good thought, Frank. Oh, by the way, permit hell, according to Ron in Raleigh. A bill working its way through the North Carolina legislature seeks to allow anyone over 18 to carry concealed without any license or permit. Reciprocity's next. What could go wrong? Hey, why not? I mean, we've got unlicensed, untested, unregulated concealed carry here, and probably shouldn't have said shoot. I mean, freedom. Right?
Yeah, we don't need no stinking permit. Right. About 19 minutes before the hour, all kinds of fun stories yet remaining for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Hey, look, it's Ryan Zinke. Yeah, that's the clown that choked the life out of him. Greg Gianforte replaced. He just signed a new Interior Secretary in order. What kind of order? Well, for one, the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, is the largest block of federally managed land in the United States, and the coastal region of the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge, the so-called 1002 area. Wait a minute. You know where this is going, don't you? The order calls for a lawful review and development of a revised integrated activity plan. Ooh, that sounds like some real live, genuine bureaucratic gibberish. The purpose of the review? Drill for more oil. Because the Republicans are not going to quit until they've put a genuine goddamn spill put the Exxon Valdez to shame all over the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But, you know, Trump's a throwaway president, right? Hillary would have started World War III by now, right? Ah! The Alaska Wilderness League is not particularly happy about it. Kristen Miller said, "We and the hundreds of thousands of Americans who actively supported the current management plan will not sit idly by while this administration," use the word regime, ma'am, "tries to give these public lands wholesale to the oil industry. Anwar is a national treasure and an amazing piece of land." That's Nicole Whittington Evans of the Wilderness Society's Alaska Regional Office. "It is not a place where oil and gas development should be allowed." Mm-hmm. Drill, baby, drill. Somewhere, Sarah Palin just turned her vibrator up to 11. It's going to be a long 3 years and, oh, 220 days or so. Very long. And as the saying goes, all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Right. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, spill, baby, spill. Because that's what oil does. I mean, there's no getting around it. Wasn't too terribly, terribly broadly reported, but The news broke a while back. Back in toward the last of May, Dateline out of Bismarck, North Dakota, courtesy of CBS News. The Dakota Access Pipeline System, you remember the one? Those darn fool Indians don't know what they're talking about. They just want to get in the way of freedom and capitalism. The Dakota Access Pipeline System leaked more than 100 gallons of oil in North Dakota in two separate incidents in March. The second and the third known leaks discovered as crews prepared the disputed $3.8 billion pipeline for operation. You know what? That pipeline wouldn't have gone through if it wasn't for all the people who failed the National Quadrennial Single Question IQ test. Nope. Wouldn't have gone through. There was a leaky flange at a pipeline terminal in Watford City, North Dakota on March the 3rd. 84 gallons of freedom got loose. That's the part where two pieces of pipe come together and it leaked. Contaminated snow and soil was removed. Well, where was it taken? Out of the environment. Nah, it's not in the environment at all. At least the front didn't fall off. Oh, look. Brain's back in the room. Typing the following, I love mountaintop removal. Well, how lovely of you, Brain. Yeah. I don't know, I think we need some high-minded philosophy for a remark like that. Oh, sorry, Devin. I referenced Sarah Palin turning her vibrator up to 11. The mental image assumes facts not in evidence. Which facts? What was that, Professor? Yeah, right. Yeah, Brain.
You dick!
But that's how he was behaving last night, too. Yeah, we've got a standing rule here. We do not allow right-wingers in the community. And it's pretty obviously that Brain is one. And thus, bye, Brain. Took care of that. No, let's see. The Dakota Access Pipeline, an online report says an above-ground valve failed due to a manufacturing defect causing the leak. But they closed upstream and downstream valves to isolate it. And then they inspected other valves to make sure that they were okay. But hey, they haven't found any leaks along the pipeline in Iowa or Illinois. Winning! Yeah. Laurel says, your production computer playback reminds me of Carol Baker firing up the solar-powered cattle prod. It's not the computer in that case. It's the ancient mixing board. Let's keep our worn-out technology straight there, Laurel. There's Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hello?
Yeah,
this is Shorty.
Oh, hey, Shorty. I'm sorry. You've got the same area code as Tracy. I just assumed it was Tracy.
Well, you know, we're all the same.
Oh, well, I mean,
the only difference is one, there's men and there's women.
Well, that's true. Well, good to talk to you.
Hey, Cousin Bob.
What's happening?
Honey, I'm telling you, I'm loving today. I sent you this video of the hilarious, the European Commission President Juncker slamming Trump. And he says this notion of I am Trump, America first, that ain't going to happen. You know. And then he goes, well, and he didn't even spend the time to read the dossier to even understand it. You know, but it was hilarious. But this whole thing with this stuff going on is all a distraction. You know that. When Trump does crazy stuff, you know, he comes on TV and says, what do you say? They're going to be laughing at us or something like that, he said today.
Yeah.
So, but you know what his biggest fear is, right?
Being laughed at.
And loss of power.
Right. Ridicule, loss of prestige. Once you get past the ego, and the id, there's really not much left of him. I mean, he's just a pustulant bag of protoplasmic hate.
Well, that's just being nice.
Well, I mean, yeah, I try, Shorty, you know.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
And for the Horns family.
Mm-hmm.
I have this question. It's just been swirling around. Horns family, do you think America is going to finally see Trump's taxes because of this Mueller special prosecutor?
One would presume that he is one of the few people that has the power to get it.
Well, yeah, and they can't say no.
Well, the IRS can't refuse that subpoena.
That's right. So then I think Trump's going to be wearing poopy pants. Depends, right?
Well, we kind of hope, but by the same token, would the American people get to see it? It might be classified at first.
Well, you know he's going to tell on himself. And I don't appreciate Bob Mueller getting my taxes. I didn't say Israel.
I should probably clip that out of the archive when we're done. I didn't say Israel. And turn that into a drop. That's a beautiful moment, Shorty.
Well, get this. Okay, you know, timing is everything, right?
Right.
And this is just for everyone just to laugh at. This is hilarious. I emailed it to you. But according to Article 2, Section 4 of our U.S. Constitution,
right,
they can all be gone at the same time. And this is what it says. The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the U.S. shall be removed from office, wait for it, on impeachment. For convictions of treason, bribery, or other high crimes, and misdemeanors.
That's a beautiful thing.
And impeachment says any wrong, and under impeachment it says any misconduct while on duty.
So that could get rid of, Trump and Pence And see, I saw an article earlier today that said, can Jeff Sessions be impeached? Yes. Will Jeff Sessions be impeached? See, that's where we got the problem, yeah. Shorty.
No. All civil officers of the United States
shall
be removed. So he's a civil officer.
Yeah, but the thing, yeah, they can be, but still that requires the Congress to take action.
But here's the other thing. Under impeachment, even if it's not him being impeached, he can be removed for any misconduct.
Oh, I agree, but still, that requires the Congress to act.
Well, yeah, but or the special prosecutor can find him.
The special prosecutor, but the special prosecutor cannot remove him from office.
He can charge him.
He can charge him, but he can't prosecute him until he's out of office.
Well,
the only way to get rid of a sitting president is via the process of impeachment.
No, I'm saying the people that are under the president.
Right, I get that. I'm talking about the president though, because he's the problem.
Well, if he gets in trouble with his other cases, then you know, because you can sue the president.
And yeah, you can sue him civilly, and he is being sued civilly in a number of different cases.
And we all can bring him up on charges for threatening, endangering the lives of the American public.
I don't know if that'd fly in a court, but there are very specific things relating to the Emoluments Clause that have a pretty good shot.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing that's illegal. Jared Kushner wrote the deal on the arms thing in March with the defense Saudi defense person.
Right.
Okay. Even though they knew, I don't know if America knows this, but Saudi Arabia occupies Bahrain. Okay. Just like, you know, Israel does, you know, and Kashmir and all that stuff. Okay. And they knew not to give arms to Bahrain. So they sold arms to Bahrain. And then what they did was they had the little handshake, the sword dance. And right after that deal was done, a big massacre in Bahrain wasn't publicized. It's like them going to, how would you say, Billy Graham's home, okay, and taking him out of his home and saying, okay, we'll charge you with whatever bogus crime we want to charge you with and raid your home. And then people came out in the street, you know, all the Catholics and whatever, Christians come out in the street, and we start shooting you dead. Total massacre.
In Bahrain.
Total massacre. Now, here's another thing.
Well, I knew about the slaughter. I know about the slaughter in Yemen. I hadn't heard anything about Bahrain.
Oh, yes. Okay, but get this. Why would Kushner, a Jew, make deal with Saudi Arabia, like Israel and Saudi Arabia? Because they want to kill Shia.
Right, because Sunni, Shia.
Right. And they have done nothing wrong. They have done nothing wrong. So there was a march 2 days ago in London. There's a march everywhere else. You know, but they're not talking about it here. Okay. This is still going on today.
I'm going to have to look this up after the program. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's spelled Daesh, D-I-A-R, something like that. Yeah. Oh, I watched it for 2 hours online. You know, and I'm tweeting people, and no one's saying anything about it. I mean, it's going on actually as we speak right now. I've got it on Press TV. I just went off, but when in his home.
Well, and we're running out of time real quick, make no mistake about it, Jared Kushner is a scumbag. I don't know if you saw the
and a farm lord.
Right. Well, the two kind of go hand in hand. In addition to the scumbag behavior out of the story with, Westminster Holdings in Maryland?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that he abused a program designed to benefit projects in poor job-depleted areas. And he used that federal program back in 2015 to build a 50-story wealthy people condominium in the waterfront district across the Hudson River from Lower Manhattan in New Jersey.
Yeah, like Ralph Sinkowski did.
That's a ways
in
back.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, project's only a project until you're done with it, then they demolish it.
And among other things, they took a swath of land 4 miles long,
mm-hmm.
had some of the poorest and most crime-ridden neighborhoods in it,
mm-hmm.
and they declared that to be within the zone,
right?
for these high-rise luxury condominiums.
But get this last thing: his employees haven't been paid, and they're going to snitch on him. But the last thing, Horn family, Pence is going down for his actions that happened during the election, how they raided the office in Indiana, the most voter registration. They raided it, took everything, and told the reporters to get out. And he's in charge of this voter fraud thing. But on a lighter note, what's it, hashtag impeach this MF already?
Is that what it is? Impeach this MFer already?
Yeah, it's I-T-M-F. It's only hashtag, yeah, impeach this MF already. Yeah.
Well, I did. I had a great deal of fun reading the hashtag earlier today. Just hashtag Donald Trump is.
Okay, mine is F you Trump.
Well, I got to get out of here, Shorty. It's 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock
okay,
there.
Okay, sweetie, I love you.
I'm so glad you called
me
in.
Too. I'm so glad I talked to you.
All right, you take care.
And if you guys got a chance, Comedy Channel, the President's Show. Love you, smooches.
All
hashtag.
Right. Later. Has Shorty ever called in before? Well, I'm glad she did. All right, so time to get out of here. Depending on what happens with the overnight crew, we'll have a $335 fundraising goal tomorrow, and we'll see how that plays out. Thanks, everybody, for all you do to keep this program going. Thank you to everybody who spends their precious, finite time engaging in this conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.